When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Great form by you hitting play on this podcast. Now, check out Same Racer, the brand new racing app for same race multi-tips. Same Racer. Download from the App Store and Google Play. Powered by Bluebet.
Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.
How much time till we're on?
Run!
What?
We're on the air right now.
I'm ready. Good evening. I'm Ron Burgundy. Here's what's going on in your world tonight.
This is Sports Day with Badge and Sats. The all-new Kia Niro, available in hybrid or all-electric. See more at kia.com.au.
It is Badge and Sats, and what a weekend. NRL, AFL, get involved in the show anytime. 0457 736 736. Or give us a call on 1300 01 1170 if you want to get involved in the show. And as we said, a lot of NRL, AFL over the weekend. We now have two grand final teams for the AFL grand final on Saturday afternoon. The Swannies are in it, listeners. Cannot wait after what was, oh, it was an amazing match on the weekend, as introduced Badge, who's celebrating his son Tom's 30th birthday today.
Yes, don't make me sound old, mate. Yes, big day for Tom, so coming over for a special
now,
dinner.
Now, your wife, Carlene, is one of the great cooks in Australia, I've got to say.
Could have been on what's that kitchen?
Master Chef,
yes.
Any day of the week. And you could have been on the block. So,
no, I do my block too much.
So, what's on the menu tonight? Because I'm always intrigued because she always cooks really interesting things, Bad.
I've just been out doing a bit of
preparation.
I get to cut some of the things like the pumpkin and whatever. Yep. Homemade spring rolls.
Okay.
With a special dipping sauce. Pumpkin and king prawn soup.
Oh, what?
Which is Thai pumpkin and king prawn soup. And a special carrot cake that she's made into cupcakes so that they're portable. They can take a few home with them, Tom and his girlfriend.
Hope he's not
listening. It was a bit of a surprise, a couple of those things. He might be listening on the way in.
Avid listener to the show, Tom Belcher.
Yeah. Can I say, Sats, I was at Allianz Stadium, magnificent.
What'd you think, Badge?
Allianz, fantastic. Didn't have to be too good to beat the old one because that was crap from day one. But
Badge,
it was amazing.
You comp there? What are you talking about?
Yeah, I know. Oh, the field was great. The field's fantastic. It was just everything else. But it's amazing now. Very, very impressive and well done. But to get there, I had to. I caught an Uber. It dropped me off at the southern end of the SCG. That's the only way you could get into that precinct. So I walked up past the SCG whilst the Swans and Collingwood game was happening, and it was huge. The precinct was just going off, and then watched the end of that game from inside Allianz on the TV. And amazing Saturday. Sydney should be very proud of. And of course the Randwick races were on earlier. If I'd had time and had been better organised, I think I might have gone to the Randwick races on the way through. So yeah, it was just one of those fantastic afternoons.
I heard it
and,
all
and
moved
the bunnies, the home team, the bunnies.
I heard
up.
It moved all very smoothly as well from all reports, because by the time the Swannies game finished, the bunnies
they'd all cleared out.
Yeah, and the bunny sharks game was in the process, and all the public.
No. Their game was still. Yeah, I think that game. And it might have finished around 7 or something. What's it take? About 6.5 hours.
Yeah, no.
AFL
so
game?
The Swannies game finished around 20 to 8.
Yep.
Yeah.
So people were coming out, and anyway, it worked great. And afterwards, and that entertainment precinct, I had to walk down there to get an Uber out, and it was buzzing. So well done, Sydney.
Good stuff.
Put on a great weekend and some big results and plenty to talk about tonight.
Yeah, welcome listeners through the Super Radio Network, 1170 and the SEN app, and in Brisbane on SENQ 693, and in Canberra 1323. Wherever you're listening, welcome to the show, and go into the running for a Spinal Ease pillow. It aligns your head and neck for a great night's sleep. 100% Australian made. You'll love it. I love it. Make sure you get involved in the show, like I said, 0457 736 736. Now, Queen's funeral tonight, Badge. A lot of coverage.
Oh,
I don't know whether you saw the images of this, and I don't want to touch on that. I just want to touch on this quickly. The image of her grandchildren standing guard over her coffin yesterday, it was moving.
Yeah. No, I didn't. I haven't watched a lot of that since the first couple of days after she passed away. Mm. But yeah, very moving time, and she is one of the great statesmen of our time.
Absolutely.
Amazing what she did for such a long period of time. I don't think it's going to be repeated, not in the short term. Certainly not in my lifetime, yeah. I know that.
Hope not.
I tell you what I would like some texts about, which moved me last night, was the Channel 7 story on Mario Fenech.
Yes, we're going to talk about that a little bit later on, yeah.
Yeah, and he so bravely contributed to that, and as did Rebecca and others. But it was touching, yeah. Good friend of mine, grew up with him, and, you know, he just said it was, he didn't know a lot of that, the story and the depth of Mario's early onset dementia and everything else that goes with it.
Great guy, Mario. Great guy. If you've ever come across him.
Fantastic guy.
He gives everyone his time, makes everyone feel so special when you're in his company. Danger, hello. He sent a text in already. And g'day, boys. Triple P here, a.k.a. the Perth Para Pest. Can you please ask Badge if he's okay? How good a para? I ordered a new jersey online at halftime on Friday. Express post, so it makes it here to Perth in time for...
Very outstanding.
Friday night, we're good.
Well, can I ask why you need a new jersey? Why do you need a new jersey when your team makes the finals? Unless you got a really old one.
Because you've still got the one with the Hardys on the front of it.
But I love those. 80s. Sats, I love the really old... I love the old Canberra Milk jerseys, the Video Easy jerseys.
Oh, we know it was in the
jerseys.
Canberra Milk. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, absolutely. It got us across the line. I love those old jerseys. I wonder what people think. Do you love your old jerseys? Are you one of these people that every time, you know, some clubs bring about six jerseys out a year. Are you buying every one? But maybe that's what fans do.
Okay, Badge, 0457 736 736. How long have you had your jersey? The longest you've had your jersey.
Longest, oldest jersey we want.
Goes into the running for a spinal ease pillow. There you go. There you go. Now,
send us a photo.
Now, I want some clarity around our bosses in all our major sporting codes, most notably the NRL and the AFL, Gary and listeners.
Yeah.
What is it with them? Because when it comes to major awards nights, for some reason, they forget some of the most important people in the game. And, of course, they are not only the fans, but most importantly, the players. So I'm going to start with this first. This is Peter Vallandis at the Dally M's.
Sea Eagles 36, defeat Bulldogs 18. One vote. Osho Olo.
Okay, so we know about Osho Olo. And now,
so that was last year.
Yes. And then there's Peter Peter Beattie, of course, who got it wrong, inducting the man who introduced rugby league to Australia into the Hall of Fame.
Tonight, it is my honour and indeed my pleasure to induct our inaugural administrator into the Hall of Fame, and that is James Joseph Gillerton.
James Joseph Gillerton. Of course, it's...
Yeah, the J.J. Gillerton.
J.J. Gillerton and Shield.
Yes.
That so was, last night... Yeah.
Was it Peter Beattie that didn't know where the Sharks were
from? Sharks were.
Yeah. I'd understand that if it's the Dolphins, because no one knows where they're from. Yeah. They're of no fixed address, the new club. But he didn't know where the Sharkies were from.
Now, anyway, at last night's Night of Knights, the AFL Brownlow badge, what happened?
Yeah. Well, Patrick Cripps was crowned the best player. He came home with a three-pointer against Carlton. But Gillon McLaughlin got the name of one of the AFL's best wrong.
Melbourne C. Petraka, three votes.
And there was actually footage of Petrarca, Christian Petrarca, who was a superstar of the game. They actually had footage of him going, oh, for F's sake, it's Petrarca.
He did. He said exactly that. But, you know, the crazy thing is, about earlier on, when he's reading votes out, he called him Petrarca.
Yeah.
So it's like tomato, tomato. That's a tough one. Yeah. Sattler and Sattler. You get Statler all the time. No, you get Slats, don't you, instead
Slats.
Of Sats.
And you get Belcher when you're in France.
Well, that's correct. That's what it is.
Exactly.
It is Belcher.
Now, this is, I suppose, my introduction. Sorry, my input into the show. And this is close to my heart, of course. So I tweeted something out today And when I woke up this morning, I was reminded that today, Badge, is the anniversary of the 1970 grand final between South and Manly when the old man smashed his jaw in five places.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Of course, it is that time of year,
isn't
it?
His teeth still aren't aligned because...
Yeah.
God. Do you know, he once said to me, oh, Mum and he used to tell me a story that when they wired him up that night, I hope you're not eating your dinner at the moment, but when they wired him up that night in 1970 on September 19, and he stayed in hospital for a few days, and then he went home, he'd be asleep in bed, and Mum used to mulch up. They split his front two teeth sort of in half so they could he could fit a straw through, and she used to mulch up all his steak and veggies and everything in water. And but he'd be asleep at night, and he'd have his jaw wired, the old school wiring through the gums. And you know, at night sometimes when you get, you know, you get the spooks, or all of a sudden you just you wake up, yeah, you get the jumps. So many times, Mum said that through the night he'd have a, some sort of dream or whatever, and he'd wake up and open up his mouth and all the wiring would tear through his gums, so they'd have to rush him to the hospital and get it rewired again.
Oh, damn.
That's horrific. Hey, not only our Spinalese pillow giveaway, we've got a new promotion as well. We have a $100 Bingley voucher to give away tonight. All you need to do is tell us your best sporting moment of the year.
Oh, how easy is that?
Best sporting moment of the year, $100 Bingley voucher. You can use it online, or if you're in Queensland, online. If you're in New South Wales, you can use it in-store or online as well. What comes to mind, Badge?
Oh, for me, straight away, Origin 3. I don't know, a lot of our listeners aren't going for the same Origin team as me. But
is it the Ben Hunt moment?
Ben
yeah.
Hunt, the charge down intercept run to seal the game. For a bloke that has had some heartbreak in the game, you know, dropping the ball that led to the Cowboys beating the Broncos in that grand final, what, 2015, that meant so much to him and to for Queensland. But it doesn't have to be league, does it, Sats? It doesn't
have to be, it might be,
someone might even say it's the AFL just the other night, the Swans hanging on. That was quite incredible. What about you, Sats?
Well, I was going to say Ben Hunt. I've never heard Suncorp Stadium as loud as what it was when Ben Hunt took that charge down intercept and run for that try. Although it's the Commonwealth Games, I'm a huge fan of Emma McKeon's and becoming our greatest athlete of all time.
We had Commonwealth Games, didn't we?
Yeah, so a lot of great sporting moments throughout the year. And if you text us on 0457 736 736, or you can give us a call, 1300 011 70, $100 Bing Lee voucher. We will announce that a little bit later on. Now, on today's show, Timmy Manor, Parramatta great, and also representative Lebanon, who are in the World Cup this year. He's going to drop by to discuss week two of the finals. Of course, his Eels are still in the race, and they're going up against they're going up against the North Queensland Cowboys on Friday night in Townsville.
Saw him on Saturday night. We called the
he would have been pumped,
Sharks Rabbits game, along with Joel Kane and Spud.
Yep.
Timmy, couldn't watch. And he's such a gentleman. He didn't. I actually brought up the night before his game because I knew it meant so much to him and his Eel smashing my Raiders. But he didn't say much until I mentioned it. And he couldn't wipe the smile off his face, and good on him. They were outstanding, the Eels.
They
fully deserved that win.
Yeah. Joel Fletcher going to join us, as they do each and every Monday. And, of course, the Kia top seven moments from the weekend. One of my favourite moments of the weekend, which will figure in the Kia top seven. Steve, I'm not sure whether the Parramatta Eels will be there, but we'll do our best. It was the Swannies, the finish to the Swannies game. That was just simply amazing. That last 1 minute was... Oh, I've got to say, I actually wasn't... Just and even though the NRL game hadn't started yet, it was just pre-game, I was fixed on the AFL final. It was amazing. Absolutely amazing. Have we missed something? 0457 736 736. And for Polaris, Australia's number one selling side-by-side brand, let's just quickly talk about some of the things out of the weekend, Badge. And the Sharks out in straight sets concede 70 in 2 weeks after being one of the best defensive sides in the comp.
Gee, that'd be hurting.
Yeah.
You could hear it. And I know the players are hurting so much. And I heard it in Fitzy, the coach, his voice after the game. Just shattered. Given that the week before against the Cowboys, they were 8 minutes away from wrapping that up and having a week off. 8 points ahead, 8 to go, that that penalty that went to and 10 minutes in the win,
yep,
against the Sharks, and Holmes kicks the goal, and then they score that try right on what 20 seconds to go or something to Taumalolo to send it to extra point and golden, extra time and golden point. When you're so close, I wonder if that had an effect on them. I wonder if that, just the disappointment there that is tricky to get over, or being so close. I'm just, as that game went on the other night, they just didn't seem to have much petrol in the tank to run down the Rabbitohs on Saturday night.
Yeah, and of course, the Bunnies had a win against with the Bunnies win. What I loved about it the most, Badge, the Bunnies win, was their defence. They only conceded two tries, one from an intercept 98 metres out, another one from a crossfield kick as well. So very, very impressed with that. Dan, power to face the Cowboys, like we said. And Badge, the week off, how beneficial?
I don't know. Look, if you've got injuries and some concerns, you know, about players, you know, that they might have played a lot of footy, a lot of your big men around the middle, I reckon the week off works beautifully for you.
Yeah.
But if you haven't, you want to just get on a roll, don't you? So that's one of the interesting things for the Cowboys and the Panthers. The Panthers had, just remember, most of their players had round 25 off.
Yep.
And then they went in the first week and had a win, and Cleary came back and 12 other players came back from having a rest, and they were very, very good and beat Para. I still think that had a lot to do with, not that they played well, but I still had a lot to do with those drop bombs from Wunga Blake.
Yeah.
That turned the game for me. So yep, that wasn't all about Penrith being super dominant. They just cashed in on the moments, on the big moments in the game, and they were a very good side. But I would not be writing Power off. Had the Cowboys a week off? Well, I don't know. I don't know how the conversation is going to go after if they get beaten by Parramatta. Maybe they'll say, well, they wish they didn't have a week off.
Mm.
And I think they're in pretty good nick. I haven't heard of too many injury concerns that the Cowboys have had.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
They needed to get over this week.
Thank you, Australia, for making Polaris Australia's number one selling side-by-side brand 21 years in a row.
Sports Day, Sports Update.
Yeah, join Robson Civil Projects, jobs at robsoncivil.com.au. Yeah, the Lions are outclassed by the Cats, a pretty dominant performance, Badge. The Swans, as we said, late surge from Collingwood just wasn't enough. And Carlton Starr, you mentioned earlier on, Patrick Cripps has taken out the Brownlow.
Yeah, he sure has. Let's have a listen to it.
Carlton, P. Cripps, 3 votes. And I declare the winner of the 2022 Brownlow medal is Patrick Cripps of the Carlton Football Club.
Yeah, it was a nail-biter. A nail-biter. Just beat Lachie Neale by one vote. The ironic part about this is that he was set to miss round 23 from suspension, but had that overturned on appeal. And Gillon McLachlan at the time called it nonsense, and he was very agitated at the appeal decision. And then in that round 23, that final round, he got maximum points in a losing game as well, mind you.
Yeah. And in a team, not that often does the winner come a team that doesn't feature in the finals.
Yep.
So about 8 times in 33 years.
Yeah.
So anyway, you wouldn't say he's lucky. Apparently he's been right up there many years previously and one of the best in the game. So he joins an elite list there as a Brownlow medal winner.
Yeah, really quickly, it's just taken two live golf events for Cameron Smith to return to the winner's podium. Of course, $140 million signing fee. Chicago Invitational, Badge. He's got a nice little hefty pay cut pay rise from there as well.
Yeah, I read 3 strokes, but I heard them say he won it by 4. And he gets $4 million US, $6 million Australian for winning. So the likes of Cameron Smith, that's the reason why I'm going to watch some live golf.
Yep.
Without the star power of him or, you know, some good Aussies, I wouldn't be bothered.
Yeah. Just before we get to the break, there's a text message here in relation to the leaders of our game. Here we go, from 201 before we get to the break. Peter Beattie also famously asked a kid wearing a Barcelona jumper if he was a Knights supporter.
Yeah. What's that, colours?
Yeah, exactly. 60 years of family culture. Joined the Robson Civil Projects team for the opportunity of a lifetime. We've got Timmy Manor joining us next to talk about the upcoming finals.
Sports Day, the all-new Kia Niro, available in hybrid or all-electric. See more at kia.com.au. Welcome back to Sports Day with Badge and Sats. The all-new Kia Niro. Available in hybrid or all-electric. See more at kia.com.au.
He throws long. Sivo will bring the house down. Offload.
Pass.
Niokore. Not a Sivo try. It's a Sivo try assist. And that'll be 40.
Yeah, that was on Friday night, the Parramatta Eels' victory over the Canberra Raiders to move into the grand final qualifier. It is always a tough assignment to travel to North Queensland at the best of times. Now to travel to North Queensland to win a grand final qualifier, even tougher. And to join us on Sports Day and talk about this week's finals and what happened over the weekend. He is the Lieutenant of Lebanon. He's 233 NRL games. Played for Parramatta in the 2009 Grand Finals. Part of the NRL Nation call team as well. Timmy Manor. How are you, Timmy?
Hello, mate. How are you?
Really well, really well. Now, I saw you out and about on Friday night at Paradise at CommBank Stadium. And overall, a 40-4 win over the Raiders. I mean, of course, you'd be impressed. Are they in a good position going out to play the Cows, you think?
I don't think we've ever been in a better position, so I can remember. I think our opportunity to win a grand final has never been as clear as it is now. You know, losing to Penrith first week of the finals, I think it was a bit of a blessing in disguise. If you said at the start of the season you had to beat Canberra and Cowboys in the inner grand final, you'd say, where do I sign?
Yeah. What about going to North Queensland, Timmy? Of course, everyone's talking about the weather and the humidity and whatever it may be. If you were Brad Arthur or Mark O'Neill, their general manager of footy, would you be taking them up early or would you be staying out of enemy territory as long as you can?
I read an article today that they're going to be going up day before and doing the captain's run down here. So they're not going to get much taste of the humidity up there. I think the reason being is Brad's very routine. And I think over the years, Paris really struggled on the away trip. And the last 2 years, they've really gotten a lot better at it. So they fine-tuned the way that they travel, and for whatever reason, they decided that getting there late is a lot better. So it's worked recently, and they're going to keep sticking to it.
Tim, the way the Eels played the other night was at times exhilarating footy. Now, earlier in the year, they were a bit predictable, one-dimensional, some might say. Have you seen that change happen over the back part of the year where they seem to be playing with a bit more width and a bit more confidence as we come to the end of the season?
Yeah, I think it was always there, that badge. I think it was, it's just the problem is it wasn't there every week. You know, there'll be 1 week where they just play, you know, incredible entertaining footy. And then the next week, you know, they tuck it under their arm and really struggle. I think the key for them was, and the key for them always is, unfortunately, is their start to the game. So if they can get out of the blocks early, score a try or two and get their tails up, they're really hard to rein in. And I think, you know, 9 times out of 10, they'll ride that lead home. When it's a bit of a scrappier, tougher affair, you know, they're the ones that could either way for them. They haven't really been known to be really, you know, good at those games. But if they can get out of the blocks early up in North Queensland and get a try or two on the board early, I think they'll be very hard to stop.
Yeah. Now there's some real star power in a lot of teams. And in particular, you look at Penrith, you know, without Nathan Cleary, they come right back to the field. We've seen it with South Sydney, who without Latrell Mitchell aren't quite the same. And Sats and I reckon Cam Murray as well. Who is it? Is it anyone at Parramatta or is the talent spread better? Or can you not do without, say, Mitchell Moses?
I think Mitchell's a key one for us, I think. Yeah, we're really lucky that Mitchell played that Canberra game. And without him in the team, I dare say it's not as much as a convincing win. And a lot of the points we scored was on the back of that first 20 minutes where we just starved Canberra of the ball. So the Canberra team had to do a lot of work that first 20 minutes. And by the time, you know, they got into the game, you know, it was almost over before it started. And a lot of that's on the back of Mitchell Moses' game management and control. I thought he did a really good job. Dylan Brown was enormous. I think it was 321 metres he made on the weekend. And, you know, he was just yeah, and he really stood up knowing that, you know, there's going to be a lot of pressure on Mitchell Moses. So he complimented Mitchell really well. But for mine, I think it's either one of those two. If one of them are out, it's a different-looking team. I think every team has one of those, except I think the Cowboys, they seem to be a very balanced side that, they don't have the superstar, factor that, you know, like for the Latrell Mitchell, but the way they complement each other is really incredible.
Now, Timmy, as part of the front rowers union, does it, I suppose you'd get excited with the skill level of the front rowers these days.
You should have seen him get excited when Mark Nichols scored the first try on Saturday night. Oh,
he would have been He would have been on that. But the skill of, I mean, Regan Campbell-Gillard has been outstanding, but the skill of big Junior Barlow, outstanding, isn't it?
Yeah. I think that's, you know, Junior's done it a number of times this year. It's that offload through the line. So they'll go two passes wide to Junior. He'll bump the line and spin, and just, he'll always have a Gutherson or a Dillon or a Mitchell Moses pushing on the outside of him. And it's such a good tactic to do it because he's got a great offload on him. His skill level's enormous, but that play seems to work so well. We did it against South Sydney in the semi-final a couple of years ago as well with Gutherson off his hip. And he just seems to deliver those big plays at the crucial times. And I thought Junior's been outstanding. The same way Mitchell and Dillon complement each other, I think Regan and Junior complement each other as well. Regan does a lot of the brunt work and he's a really tough carrier of the ball. And you know, he holds his own very well. But then Junior comes in with a bit more silky ball playing and really lights it up. So it's a great combination to have.
Now, would you, or does it concern you that the Cowboys have had a week off? Do you buy into the week off being so beneficial these days?
I don't know. I thought the week off was going to hurt Penrith in that first week of finals. They seemed fine. This time of year, I guess it is always good to have a freshen up, but also at the same time, it could also stagger you, and if they come out a bit rusty at first 10-15 minutes and allow Parramatta to get their tails up, it could be a really tough affair for them. So they've got to make sure they come out of the blocks, not warm into it.
Mm. Tim G, they were impressive. I mentioned we were at the Rabbitohs Sharks game. The South Sydney were very impressive, weren't they?
Yeah, they're a strong team. I think if I'm Parramatta, without looking too far ahead, if we win this week against the Cowboys, we'd probably rather play Penrith than South Sydney, and that's a huge compliment to South Sydney. But I'm a little bit concerned about the toll of last week's game. We saw Alex Johnson, you know, in all sorts of pain, not being able to return second half. Havili not being able to put pressure on his calf. Burgess is still out next week. Totola, what's the?
No, he's been.
He's clear.
And then you got a Joy Arrow with the groin.
Yeah.
Clear?
Yep.
Joy Arrow is the other one. So they haven't come out. And that's where the week off helps. And Badge, you mentioned it in the commentary, but the benefit of having the week off is you don't risk, not only is it the rest, but you don't risk getting injuries and suspensions. And unfortunately for South Sydney, they're going to come into this game a little bit bruised.
Mm. What do you make of Penrith with the week off? Do you think they won't miss a beat? Everyone was questioning Nathan Cleary coming in after having 5 or 6 weeks off, Timmy, and thinking maybe he might be a little bit rusty, but he proved to everyone that he hit the ground running. Do you expect them to be exactly the same on Saturday night?
Oh, Nathan just showed off the other night. When he put on that performance with Parramatta, and he just showed every trick in the book. He did 40-20 kind of kicks, and the spirals he did, and the cross-field banana kicks, and he did everything. It was really fun to watch. But I think if you kind of break down that Parramatta game, I know the score blew out in the end, 27-4 or something similar to that, but I don't know if Penrith was that much more dominant than Parramatta. I think those kicks, you know, those three drop balls by Waka Blake hurt Parramatta, and a few of those kicks really punished Parramatta. Mitchell went down, but with half an hour to go, Parramatta were in front. They were right in that game. I think Penrith, as good as they are, you know, they're still beatable, and this game could go either way on Saturday night.
You'll be down there working with next week if you get through, and you're up against the Panthers. You'll be working with Wunga Blake all week, putting those big spiral and floaters up against
him,
Timmy.
I
imagine. Hey, now, a lot of the conversation last night and today has been around Mario Fenwick on Channel 7 last night, and really concerning, over concussions and CTE and on early onset dementia. What was your take on that, mate? I know it's a worry for nearly every person that's played rugby league that has had a few head knocks, and I'm sure you had your share playing in the front row.
I didn't get to catch the story or watch it, but I've got a lot of respect for Mario, and it's a really sad story when you hear about some of the side effects that it has, not only on Mario but other players in the competition that played. I guess I'd be lying if I, as a former player, you said you weren't somewhat concerned about the damage that could be done, and you know what we used to do to our heads back in the day. And you know, it was only halfway through my career that it started to change with the HIAs and taking a bit more care of it. But I remember the first half of my career, and you guys would have had your whole career where, you know, you have that moment where you're hitting the head and you see white and you kind of don't know where you are, and you kind of come back to, you know where you are, and you shake it off and you keep playing. And it's funny talking about it now because it's a bit of a foreign concept to a lot of people that don't understand that feeling. A lot of players, they get it and they know what we're talking about. But I just used to think that was normal, and the idea of coming off was, you know, so foreign. So then you think about all those you had throughout your career and think, oh, I wonder if that's going to come back and bite you on the backside later on. But, you know, it's a real concern, and I really wish Murray all the best. And I can only imagine how tough it must be on his family to see someone like him go through what he's going through.
I think the best part about it is now that with so much education and acceptance, the mindset of the player now is accepting. Whereas once upon a time, as you said, Timmy, we used to always try and fight against it and try and come up with other possible injuries instead of, you know, telling the trainer it was your head. But I think we're a lot more accepting now. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, they are. I think until a big game's on the line, like I think if someone has a head knock, you know, in a grand final, you know, you wonder how much of a difference that makes compared to a round 16 head knock. So, you know, there is still question marks on the legitimacy of how honest people are, but it's definitely a thing that players are much more aware of, and they're voicing their concern. And if they do feel groggy or they don't feel right, they're a lot more likely to say so now than they would, you know, a few years ago.
Yeah, well, don't call his phone on Friday night as the Parramatta Eels take on the Cowboys up at Queensland Country Bank Stadium. And we didn't even get onto the World Cup, Timmy, because Lebanon are in the pool of death, New Zealand, Ireland and Jamaica. I mean, how are you going to get through that pool?
Oh, mate. Yeah, that's I'm listening. I think the Jamaica game should be a win for Lebanon. That's my gut feeling. And then it's going to come down to that Ireland game. I think New Zealand might be a bit of a tough ask. But yeah, let's look at the lineup. You've got Mitchell Moses, if he doesn't make Australia. You've got Mitchell Moses, Adam Dewey, Jacob Carraz, Josh Mansell, Alex Plyle, if he plays.
Oh, it's not bad, is it?
There's a fair few. I think he's actually stronger than the last one. Yeah, it's not a bad
game. Yeah, but you wouldn't have seen Peter Tosh and Bob Marley and the Whalers run around. That Jamaica's the whole back line is Bob Marley, Peter Tosh and the Whalers.
Yeah.
Look out. They can run. Well, Bob can't anymore.
Yeah.
They made it in the bobsled. They know how they can't do it in the league.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, good way to finish. Hey, Timmy Manor, we're listening to you this weekend on the NRL Nation Call. Thanks for joining us, and good luck to your Parramatta Eels this week.
Cheers. Thanks, boys.
Yeah, he's always a good man, Timmy Manor. Before we get to the break, we're going to talk a little bit more in the hot topic next. Mario Fenech and his battle with dementia and the head trauma that was created throughout his career. Badge, it was an eye-catching program, wasn't it, last night?
Confronting. Yeah, very confronting last night.
And on the back of your dinner, Badge, tonight for Tom's birthday, which is your pumpkin soup and your king prawns.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've got Danny and his G-string from the GC saying, I've taken your tip, Sats. Your wife puts breadcrumbs on the top of your lasagna before it goes in the oven. Outstanding.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I've heard this.
Rob from Maruka, talking about greatest sporting moments of the year. Of course, you go into the running for $100. Bing Lee voucher can be used in-store online. Rob from Maruka rang in and said, what about Ash Barty?
Oh, of course.
Yeah, we've got a few for Ash Barty, and we've got another couple here, Sats and Badge. This is from Simon. Biggest sporting achievement of the year, Australian perspective, would have to be Cam Smith winning the Claret Jug at St Andrews.
Absolutely outstanding, that wasn't it? Even despite the fact he's switched camps.
Yep. And we spoke about the oldest jerseys, Badge. You brought up about the old jerseys supporting a side. Why do you have to buy a brand new one? We've got Damo says, Mario's last playing jersey from the Bears, which he signed for me.
What?
Great stuff, Damo from the Riff.
Gee, that's a beauty.
Another photo came through also of the old Panthers jersey with the brown stripe over the shoulder. Yeah, it was, and Penrith, was it Penrith? One of the car yards? Penrith, yeah. And Danger sent through a 30-year-old jersey as well. Let's get to the break, Badge, for Kia Sportage. It's been named Drive Car of the Year. See it at kia.com.au. Coming up next, a hot topic all about Mario Fenech.
Sports Day, the all-new Kia Niro. Available in hybrid or all-electric. See more at kia.com.au. Welcome back to Sports Day with Badge and Sats. The all-new Kia Niro. Available in hybrid or all-electric. See more at kia.com.au.
Yeah, welcome back to the show. And on 7 Spotlight last night, Channel 7, they had an extended story on the struggles that Mario Fenech, one of the game's legends, is struggling with at the moment, with dementia, of course. Before we get to talking a little bit more about that, here's a little bit of audio courtesy of Channel 7.
There are times I get really bad, like anxiety stuff. Yeah, it's not much fun having brain damage, mate, because I literally forget things like that.
Yeah, it was pretty confronting, Badge. It was sad, confronting, refreshing as well that we've been able to talk to someone who has been affected that still has the ability to discuss, you know, what they're going through on a daily basis. And, of course, his beautiful wife, Rebecca, who was in a majority of the interview and the story from Michael Usher surrounding the role that she's playing and what their future may look like.
Yeah, and it's not rosy. It's Mario really going downhill. He was diagnosed at 53, seven years ago, diagnosed that he had CTE or early onset dementia, and it's due very, very, very likely to the head knocks that he copped as a player, and he copped a lot more head knocks than many current players would get now anyway, and the way he played and the way the game was played then. It happened more often, and the other thing that happened is if you could dust yourself off and stagger to your feet, you played on. So, fortunately, we're learning a lot from that. But Sats, recently, Royce Simmons,
yes,
had his told us all about his battle with dementia and expected CTE, and Stevie Mortimer as well, and many, many more. So, it was very confronting, and what hit me was, you know, him saying he wakes up every day telling Rebecca that he feels strange and weird. It's different, and he's not the same, of course, because he's going through this. But hopefully, that's another step towards us getting better at preventing as much of this as we can.
You know, what really stood out to me also last night, Badge, on the run, is where he was talking about playing golf and then repeating the story again. I played golf again today, yeah. And that's, you know, some of the common signs, common signs that I see at the moment that I go through with Dad. He forgot his son Joe's wedding the day after, Badge.
They'd been to the wedding, that's right.
So
that, terrible.
You know, full-time care will eventually, you'd think, be needed. I think last night was also a cry for help from the family. Rebecca spoke about how Mario used to look after a lot of the documentation, the payment of different annual, like life insurance, for example, and health insurance. And then after 6 months, she found a pile of documents that hadn't been attended to, which meant the life insurance policy wasn't continued. Yeah. So it really is a cry for help for, but outside of that, was a great education as well, I thought. We've seen the neuroscientists and surgeons and the effect that head trauma has on any sort of athlete. Most notably athletes, I should say, and war veterans as well. But also, this is coming from a former player, blue-collar worker that I think a lot of people can, I suppose, relate to.
Yeah,
if that makes sense. Now, I suppose the action plan, Badge, if you want to throw around some action plans, what are some of the things that could be thrown up in relation to alleviating concerns moving forward?
Well, there already are things underway from the
good
NRL.
Education.
Absolutely, no doubt at all. But certainly better education, and not just at the NRL level and the NRLW, but also at the junior, you know, the kids level. And we're going to make sure that the kids and their parents and their coaches understand just what needs to happen if there is a head knock and how to, you know, better tackle technique to avoid them. And lots of different things around education there and training. Mandatory stand-down periods for concussions have been discussed, a week or 2 weeks or whatever it is. Boxing has months, 3 months, don't they? But
they do,
but
yeah.
Boxers don't generally fight every few weeks. That's not what a boxer's going to do anyway. It's a difficult thing in rugby league, but maybe we've got to look more so at if you do have a concussion of a certain level, then you have to stand down for a certain period.
Yeah.
I know we have independent doctors now. Players aren't just coming back because the club says you can play, the coach says you can play, and the player says I'm all right. Independent medicos now have to rule on them being allowed to play or not. So that's certainly a step in the right direction. And less contact at training, even no contact at training
we'll see
parts
that.
Of the season.
I think we'll see no contact during the season or maybe even 4 weeks leading into a season.
Players aren't belting each other in the head at training. What we're talking about is heavy contact where you get a little bit of maybe a whiplash effect. You know, you're running into each other and even when you're padded up and everything else at training, those little cumulative head knocks and bits of brain, the brain bouncing around, it can all add up over a season and over a footy career.
Yeah, and things have been thrown up like the 5 metre rule or bigger benches, maybe 6 players instead of 4. But
5 metre rule.
No, I don't think that'll ever happen again. But bigger benches.
Just to take, so they're not running into each other from as far apart.
Yeah, I think bigger benches will be something on the cards.
Interchange more players on the interchange.
More players.
Why? How will that help?
Well, in case you get a number of injuries and you're putting players into positions that they're not used to.
Right.
Yeah, as an example.
And if you've got any doubt about any player, they're off.
Yep.
Then you've got players there to replace them, yeah.
Yeah, so if you haven't watched the show from last night, get the 7 app and go and watch it because it's riveting viewing. It's sad. It's confronting, like we said. But he has got a great attitude, Mario, towards life. Let's get to a break. We'll get to more of your texts after the break. 0457 736 736. This is Badge and Sats.
Sports Day. The Kia Sportage has been crowned Drive Car of the Year. See it at kia.com.au.
By the Swans and Geelong. And we've been asking you what your favourite sporting moments are throughout the year to go into the running for a $100 Bing Lee voucher. Can be used online or in-store if you're in New South Wales. And also we've got a Spinalese pillow for the best text of the night. Overall, we've got a lot of texts about Mario and concussion. Steve says, I've always been a big Fennec fan. He should have featured more heavily in representative games. He's a mighty fine
player,
wasn't
he, Badge?
Yeah, well, he
was battling with Benny Elias there in particular and some other great players at the time. But I couldn't name a player that gave more than Mario gave. He gave it everything that he had. And didn't they have a great battle over those years, Mario and Benny? I think they caught up recently. I read they caught up recently because they absolutely despised each other. But I'm glad to hear that they did.
Remember Benny bit himself to get him sent off?
Yeah, and blame Mario.
To get Mario sent. And he did. He got sent off as well.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. We've got a lot
apparently.
Of...
Allegedly? Or is that...
No, that's factual. Some of the great sporting moments. Hey, fellas, this is Tobias from Newcastle. Best moment for me is going to the great Roger Federer finishing up with the Team Europe at the Laver Cup. Evan Era, true sporting legend, one of a kind.
What a star, what a legend. Yep. Yeah, no doubt at all.
Evening, lads. So many great sporting moments, but I can't go past Cam, live and let die, Smith's win at the British Open. Yeah, we've got a lot of Ash Barty and Cam Smith. Of course, it was Ash Barty was Wimbledon, wasn't it?
Yep.
It was, yeah. Yeah, let's get to the break.
And
if you're leaving the show in some of the markets, make sure you get the SEN app. And if you're going to get the podcast, make sure you download that from anywhere you get the good podcast from. Coming up the next hour, we've got the Kia Top 7, some more of your texts, and also a lot more NRL news. This is Badge and Sats for the all-new Kia Niro, available in hybrid or electric. See more at kia.com.au.
Sports Day, the all-new Kia Niro. Available in hybrid or all-electric. See more at kia.com.au. This is Sports Day with Badge and Sats. The Kia Sportage has been crowned Drive Car of the Year. See it at kia.com.au.
Hey, welcome back to the show for the second hour. If you're joining us for the first time, welcome to the show through the Super Radio Network, Southern Cross Off Stereo, SEN app, 16:20 a.m. on the Gold Coast, 11:70 in Sydney, SENQ, 693 in Brisbane, and 13:23 a.m. in Canberra. And also, if you're listening on the podcast for the first time, welcome to the show as well. We've been asking about the great sporting moments badge of 2022. Now, I have to correct myself. A couple of our listeners ending in 280, most notably, has said Ash Barty was the Australian Open. Wimbledon was last year. Of course it was.
Ah.
And a lot of votes for Cam Smith.
How quickly we forget.
Yeah. We've got the Kia Top 7 coming up with the highlights of the weekend. Steve from Dubbo, don't lose faith. We may appease you. Joel and Fletch coming up also. And for McDonald Jones Homes, thanks for all your texts to go in the running for a Spinalese pillow, 100% Australian made. And also, there's the greatest sporting moment is going to be a $100 voucher to Bing Lee. We're going to be doing that each night this week, and we're going to come up with a different topic each week. We might ask for you to come up with a topic later on the week also. But let's get through some of these texts, Badge. And one of our listeners here said they met 10 years ago. This is Bunny Dave, met Mario Fenech, and we talked about the 1989 year. Of course, the Bunnies were the minor premiers that year. They would have won that comp if we had some better backs like Gary Belcher. What a true gentleman, Bunny Dave. He is a true gentleman. It was so strange, but Mario is as well.
Mario is. They were a hell of a side, yeah. Minor premiers that year, and they lost out a couple in a row, I think, as well, which is really, that's what the Sharks have done, and it's a really bitter pill to swallow, I can tell you. When you work so hard, you end up at the top of the comp, minor premiers, and you don't go at least to the grand final. It's a really difficult one. So, and Mario would have, he would have felt the full force of that, as the Sharkies are doing now. Weren't they disappointed? The Sharks and Fitzy, they were so disappointed
at the end of that game. Adelaide Dragon says, the Sharks season was all smoke and mirrors. 13 from 15 wins against the bottom eight teams. 3 from 11 against top eight sides. That includes Melbourne in origin period.
Is that right?
Now, Adelaide Dragon, I wouldn't say it was smoke and mirrors. I just think it's a massive step forward for the club.
Absolutely. I'm with you, Sats. It's going to be tricky to assess where they're at. Will they be better for the experience next year? Have they overachieved? When we won't be doing that until the new year, but it's a difficult one to get a handle on, isn't it? I would say they overachieved. I think they played out of their skin in so many games, a lot better than any of us thought they would go this year.
It means, well, good coaching, doesn't it? Now, boys, AFL has a 12-day stand-down rule after HIA. The NFL has a minimum one game, as Josh in Ballarat. So thank you for that, Josh.
How do they measure that? Is it any concussion? Any head injury is it any concussion?
Not quite sure. I know it's not a bit important in the scheme of the whole concussion issue. This is from Mark. But is there hardly any contact at training? Will it affect the standard of the games on the weekends, Badge?
I think, and you've alluded to this, that's contact in the preseason is really important, not just for players to get their timing right. And get themselves ready. It's also getting your body ready for the collisions because they're super heavy.
Exactly.
So you've got to do some in the pre-season, I believe. But as the season progresses and you're already into games, I think that's kind of got to be it.
Yeah, thanks for your text on McDonald Jones Holmes. Text line 0457-736-736. Keep them coming through. Australia's biggest, Beaumont Tolls, together with us. Want to boost your business? Head to icanwin.com.au and you could win the $25,000 advertising package to promote and grow your business. Next up, we've got the Kia Top 7. This is Badge and Sats for the all-new Kia Niro.
Sports Day, the all-new Kia Niro. Available in hybrid or all-electric. See more at kia.com.au. Welcome back to Sports Day with Badge and Sats. The all-new Kia Niro. Available in hybrid or all-electric. See more at kia.com.au. Now on Sports Day, time for the Kia Top 7. The Kia Sportage has been crowned Drive Car of the Year. See it at kia.com.au.
Plenty happening over the weekend. And the NRLW, well, they actually had all three games at Central Coast on Sunday. And the Roosters, well, they go into the finals undefeated and won the minor premiership.
Up quick they were on Isabel Kelly. She's got a winger there and they're in. The Roosters go in again. Jamie Frezzard. Roosters 38 defeat the Titans 12. And with that, they gain the minor premiership.
Yeah, the triple header. Good crowd up there on the
voice,
sunny,
voice
on the
of Chris
Coast.
Warren there, Badge, our friend.
Yes, great stuff. Number 6 in the Kia Top 7, mentioned this earlier on, Cameron Smith, the golfer, got his first LIV Tour win in Chicago.
This to tie his team. He's obviously going to win the event. 9 weeks since being crowned Open Champion at St. Andrews. Is now a LIV Golf winner for the first time right here in Chicago. And he's done it in style by 4 shots.
Yeah, outstanding. And just earning more money. I don't think he... has to worry about
it's not about the money.
Doing much after his 50th. Now, Animo stormed home to win the Group 1 George Main Stakes at Randwick.
Animo races the lead at the 250. Animo just in front from Ice Buff, beating off Hinge. Then came Fangirl. But Animo, up goes Animo in the George Main Stakes, breaking clear. And there's five Group 1s. Animo went on to beat Ice Buff.
Yeah, and James McDonald got five as well on the day. Five wins, including a great win on Nature Strip as well. Aren't those two looking good for the spring carnival? Now, way back on Thursday night it was, the Wallabies, this was heartbreaking, on the cusp of a famous win over the All Blacks when it happened.
I said first, yes. You play, we play, okay? Yes. Then I time off. I switch off the time. I say to your player, I switch on the time and you play immediately.
Okay.
And you wait. So that's a scrum for the All Blacks.
Yeah, it was heartbreaking. And Bernard Foley saying, I didn't hear him. Well, he must have heard him because he's actually starting to kick the ball
to
into touch.
To take the kick.
Exactly.
Yeah, so the All Blacks were behind by only a couple.
Yeah.
They had a scrum, score in the corner, and ended up winning by five, I think, didn't they?
Two.
Anyway. Two,
behind 39, by three, 37. Yeah.
Yeah,
they were number three in the Kia top seven. South Sydney keep marching on and into this week's grand final qualifier.
Put him under pressure. Looks for the offload. Gets the pass back away. Tane Milne wants two. They turn up and the ball comes back away. And South Sydney through little Lockie Elias, the young halfback, scores an important try to take them one step closer to a rematch with the Penrith Panthers.
Good defender, isn't he? Lockie Elias.
He's playing good football, and we see now why they decided to move on from Adam Reynolds. You can't fit everyone under your cap, especially when they're on the wrong side of 30. So, yeah, he's playing great. Are you singing the song, Sat? South Sydney go marching on? Come on.
No, it's all round the bar. That's the South
there
Sydney.
You go.
Yeah.
Rightio. Number two, Kia top seven. Friday night was a dominant performance by Parra. 7-1.
Puts a little right footer in. Oh, Xavier Savage got nutmegged. Tommy Opacek scores. He's bound for Hull next year. He's not the biggest name in this Parramatta side. And he's come up with a spectacular try in a final.
Oh, it was a leg breaker, wasn't it?
And they were absolutely on fire. And Tom Opacek, actually, he's got a bit of a hamstring issue. He says he's going to be right this week, but might have been just precautionary, keeping off the field. Now, number one in the Kia top seven over the weekend. Well, it couldn't get any more exciting if you're a Swannies fan, even if you're just an AFL sporting fan. The finish to this game between the Swans and also Collingwood, it was unbelievable.
The siren pending on the kick end. Every last ounce of energy exhausted. The final kick. The siren sounds. Sydney stared down the Grim Reaper and they live to tell the tale. They take their place in the 2022 Grand Final. Collingwood left nothing out there.
One of the great broadcasters, Jared Whateley there with the Swans and,
fantastic.
And Collingwood. First, outstanding.
Yeah, their first GF since 2016. Thanks to SEN, Fox Sports, Stan Sport, Channel 7 for all of that audio. This is Sports Day for the all-new Kia Niro. Back soon.
Sports Day. The Kia Sportage has been crowned Drive Car of the Year. See it at kia.com.au. Welcome back to Sports Day with Badge and Sats. The all-new Kia Niro. Available in hybrid or all-electric. See more at kia.com.au.
Yeah, welcome back to the show. Each and every Monday we catch up with our colleagues, Joel and Fletch. And this is how it went earlier on.
Way too good. I tell you, a Z-grade nomination, Brian. Our very own Gary Belcher. So I had to do the half marathon and I had an hour to go after the game and Badge said, nah, I've got it covered. And he hosted the last hour for me.
That's Z-grade. What he does.
How'd you go? Yeah. How'd you go, Sugar?
Yeah,
Two and a half hours, Badge.
So
I've got
you're
it done.
A Z grade, Joel.
Thank you, mate.
Yeah,
thank
absolutely.
You, mate. No, well, actually, this guy here, and he's right what he says. Where is he? Where's that text around? Oh, he gets into me. He said, geez, you've been in a good paddock. Those, you and your four chins. Well, me and my four chins finished the bloody half marathon. So
2.5 hours. That's like, that's only just outside the world record. Oh, no, that's a marathon. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah,
that's
the marathon, half. Exactly.
Oh, is that 465? Is that 465 having a go at you again?
Oh, I don't know. I've got to find it. I can't find it on the text board. I'll get to it very shortly. How was your week? In fact, boys, I saw you tweet this, Sats, and geez, time flies. 1970 grand final, Rabbitohs versus Seagulls.
Yep.
And your old man breaks his jaw in the game.
Yep.
Johnny Sattler. Mm. That was today in 1970, you
said? Yeah. I woke up this morning to a reminder from a very good friend of mine who, we're 52 years. So I actually brought that up with him. He said, I remember it like it was yesterday. He said, young fella. So,
Who got him?
John Sleepy Bucknell was a... was a front rower that played for Manly, back rower, front rower, played for Manly. He ended up joining the Buddhist Monk years later.
Because he put other blokes to sleep.
So apparently it was a ploy that to take him out very, very early. Actually, I got a tweet that replied to the photo from someone whose uncle was played on the wing that day, and they said at half time he got stuck into John Bucknell for making the old man angry and the rest of the side. So, I was telling a story earlier on to one of our colleagues, Benny Davis, and the old man tells a story at halftime. Clive Churchill, the great little master, said to him, "We're not sending you back out there. We've got a duty of care, Sats. You're not going back out." And two of the officials and Bive tried to hold him back, and he manhandled him out of the way. And it ran out of the members' dressing shed, down the stairwell, onto the Sydney cricket ground, because he knew that if he got out there after half time, no one was going to go on there and drag him back out again.
Wow.
52 years ago.
Yep.
Hey, on that note, that was difficult watching at times, wasn't it? I'm really proud of Mario and Rebecca and everything that happened last night. They showed us last night on Channel 7. It was difficult to watch, and I think, like a lot of us lads, you're kind of thinking, gee, they're for the grace of God. We hope it's not us that has the same problem with dementia, early onset dementia.
I didn't see it, boys. But was the story about the concussion, or was it just folk? Like, was it? And Mario was just a piece in that story, or was it all about Mario?
It was all about Mario and what he's going through. And Jeff Fenwick featured on it as well, and Rebecca. And you definitely should watch it. Fletch, it was a really brave piece that he did.
Diagnosed at 53, the trouble that he's got.
He's almost 61, so something like 8 or just under 8 years ago diagnosed, and of course it gets progressively worse.
Geez, that's young, isn't it? 53 to be diagnosed with dementia.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, but and Badge brought up a really good point earlier on. So positive, his outlook on life.
Yeah, a good mate of mine. Grew up with Mario, played under sixes with him and went right through, and he lives up near me up the north coast now. And he said he bumped into Mario a year or so ago, and Mario didn't recognise him until he said who he was. And but Mario knows that, and he admits that, and he says, "I've got all these problems," but he is such a positive person. Mm. It was sad. It was also uplifting. Mm. Anyway, as I said, lads, if you get the chance to watch it, really worthwhile. And it just reinforced, I think, how important it is for us to take it super seriously.
Mario was our first captain at the South Queensland Crushers in 1995.
He was.
And he came in like a cyclone, because his nickname's Test Match, as you know, because everything he engages in, it's got like his life's on the line. Everything's got to be like a Test Match.
I watched him play for Australia when he represented the Prime Minister's 13.
Mm.
In Canberra in, I think, 1988, something like that, against the Poms.
Yep.
So he wore the Australian jersey.
And he looked after himself. He didn't drink.
Super fit. Was,
trained every day, every day, yeah.
Yep. Went from hooker to front row. Remember when he was playing front row at Halls?
Remember he used to run the ball up, and when he front row, he ducked his head.
Yeah.
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 I wonder if that, I know he got knocked out defending a lot, but I wonder if that.
For sure, wouldn't it? That would contribute.
What was interesting last night is, and I said a fair bit with my dad now, is that my dad has brain fades where he's halfway through a sentence, he can't think of the word that he's got to use, and you have to finish the sentence off. But they're watching some old footage from a semi-final at the SCG in 1983-84, and he said, "Oh, that was 1984. He knew exactly when it was, where they were playing, And I see that quite a bit, actually, with my father. He can tell you every teammate he had in 1964. But yeah,
so is it the short-term memory?
Yeah, with stats, is yeah, it? With a lot more, of them. Fletch. So yeah, it is. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, Badge, what were they? Were they? How did because we had Jimmy Graham on last week, just talking about, you know, he's got that podcast coming out. So did Mario go and get scans? So you can tell with your these neurological scans that you've got dementia in the brain matter. Is that how it works, or is it a test? Is
it a test, verbal test? Scans, and they showed him getting some scans done. I missed about the first 5 minutes of it when I was alerted to it, but it was a long show. But the specialist did talk about him having CTE. So whilst that I believe is only something you can definitely identify post mortem, I believe she has said it must be by comparing the scans that he definitely has signs of CTE, and that's down almost definitely.
What
two,
about they did a scan?
The head knocks.
Badger, when they did a scan on Jeff Fenwick's head as well, and they said you're relatively intact. Whereas, and Mario's more or less, they said Mario's scan was in worse shape than Jeff's.
Wow.
As a professional boxer,
In a way, surprising. Mm. Yeah. Wow. Anyway, make sure you do it.
The biggest contact collision in the game, in my opinion, no doubt about it, is kickoffs, right? They're 50 metres away. You've got teams just frothing to get to each other. A bloke wears it like a badge on it, charges back, and that collision there. I don't know that we need it in the game, and I know Fletch disagrees, and a lot of people will disagree because it's tinkering with the fabric of the game. But if this is so important to us as a game, you see so many players, defensively or cap, generally defensively, off a kickoff who go off with HIA due to the...
I agree with you.
What do you think, Badge?
Completely. Well, and you think back, and I was thinking back to some, and when I called that game, you and I called the game the other night with Mark Carroll, and some of those big clashes that he had with the Chief, and so often they did come from the kickoff. It wasn't the first kickoff of the game. It was after a team had scored, and they go, we've got to give it to this bloke. We've got to show that we're dominant again, and it still happens. Joel, if they made a change to that where, the team that didn't score, or the team that scored goes back and taps it on the 30 or something for restart, I reckon we'd be on the right track.
Yeah, we wouldn't lose one. People will be up in arms about it originally, but we'll soon get used to it, and we would not lose one viewer, in my opinion, and particularly with the kids. And that's why we got the New South Wales Cup and Queensland Cup. Try a few things there. But anyway, what else is happening, gentlemen?
Oh, actually, there's some news coming from across the border, actually. New South Wales, yep. So, Luke Morley from Malabar, he was interviewed after appearing in Randwick local court for public exposure. Let's have a listen to what he had to say.
And you see, that's what the problem is. Now, it's a beautiful day. I want to come outside with my shirt off, and I was just jogging, trying to get my body back in shape. And all of a sudden, I get hit stick like I'm on Madden, just boom, out of nowhere by a cop. And, it scared the hell out of me. I was so scared, y'all, I didn't on myself. And I'm talking about I was wet. I was wetter than a well in a bubble bath drinking a bottle of water. Okay? And to myself, I said, indecent exposure? Hold up. Wait a minute. Something ain't right. What you want me to do? I'm a man. You want me to put on a bra? Man, that bra strap will snap like a bungee cord. Just go. And, you know, I just came out of court and they just gave me 2 court dates. One for each titty.
Yeah, Luke Morley moved over from Chicago a couple of years ago. Yeah. So what's going on around your neck of the woods?
Big lad.
Didn't sound like. Well, actually, we've got something here that's come across my desk. Okay, so a Norville man. So I gather Norville is up near Bundaberg or something like that. A Norville man higher on meth told police he had no recollection of the events that led to 15 officers arresting him for masturbating at a bar. Andrew Frew, I mentioned, of Norville, he told the local police that he took the drug on Saturday and proceeded to have quite the weekend. So what happened is officers were able to track him. After refusing to pay a locksmith at his home, he went to a local shopping centre where an employee escorted the property. He then went to a local bar and grill, took a seat, and exposed himself to the bartender. Then he allegedly, while standing at the bar, started to pleasure himself. Police were then called to the scene, and Frey moved to the bathroom where he continued to touch himself. A police officer attempted to arrest him a couple of times. And then they even used a taser multiple times, but had no effect on our man Frey. The deputy then got in a fight. Our man Frey punched his face off. Then he looked for backup. I think they call it APB, BPA, backup. That's the code. And what had happened, he radioed, 15 officers descended onto the bar. It took him 15 minutes to wrestle him. All the while, still pleasuring himself.
Where?
Going streaking through the quad.
So this bloke, I don't know what goes up there in Queensland, Norville, but it sounds like my sort of town.
It does, actually.
Did you tell the boys about the gaff in the Brownlows?
Oh, yeah. Did you see the Gil?
Yeah. Oh, Gil McGoy. Yeah, we did that earlier on,
We got the audio here.
Here's the audio.
Adelaide v Melbourne. Melbourne, E. Langdon, one vote. Melbourne, C. Oliver, two votes. Melbourne, Oshay Ole, three votes.
Oshay Ole.
Can you believe Oshay Ole?
He made an appearance again.
He's just a gun, this bloke. Talk about code hoppers.
Now, boys, I want you to have a listen to this. So, a lot of when we do A graders, most weeks you get somebody nominating an A grader for people who stand up early on planes, right? And as there's still much time to get off, have a listen to this lady.
When the plane land and pull up to the gate, and everybody jump up, where you going? Sit your dumb ass down. What, you gonna jump out the window? They ain't even open the door yet. They ain't even connect the walkway yet for us to walk off the plane, stupid. And then we got a long ass walk to baggage claim, and our bag still ain't gonna be there. Sit your dumb ass down.
Yeah.
Do you see that, boys, on planes?
Yeah, I've brought that up as an A grade on a number of occasions. It does my head.
I get up. I hate sitting down for more than 10
typical.
Minutes.
Typical.
Yes.
I just want to get up.
Grade of the
legs.
Anus.
Why do you want to keep sitting down when you've been on a plane for 2 hours?
I know what you're doing, bud. You're getting up. You're just reaching around. You're just getting in the overhead cabin. Reach.
Me and my mate from Norville are getting up to do our stuff on the plane.
But what if you got a connecting flight? Let's play on. If you're that's an old throw off the old days. Oh, excuse me. I've got a connecting flight.
I'm going to get that.
Yeah.
No one cares.
I'll tell you, I've got an A grade. Can I throw an A grade in?
Yep.
Yeah.
And you guys, I won't be surprised if you don't say a word about this because you don't want to offend anyone, but the NRLW system that has a top four for six teams. So Parramatta had not won a game in their first four. They hadn't won a game and they're in the finals with a win over the Broncos. What is going on there?
What? Let's have a look at this.
I knew you blokes wouldn't.
What do you reckon? Like. It's got to be top five.
No, Badger's saying we're
old school.
Well, we've got next year. We're 10 teams next year. Yeah. What about top three? Where the Badger, you saying the minor premiers had the week off? The other two play off.
They play off.
Yeah, Badger's right. So
that's what they should have done.
I think that's our man was doing that too at Norville.
So Badger's right. So Parramatta have played five games.
Yeah.
They've won one.
Until last week, they hadn't had a win.
Yeah.
And now they're in the finals.
Are the Broncos out?
They're out.
Broncos
first
are
time
out,
ever.
Titans are out.
What, they haven't won a game? The Broncos
they've,
not won
they've,
a game?
They've won no, one. They won Titans one. Have won one. Three teams
Four
have won one
against.
Game.
Yeah, because I saw...
Four against Power in.
I saw...
Ali Brigginshaw.
Yeah, she broke down.
Yeah.
It's quite hard to watch.
Mm.
I think that's a decent A grade. When you can make the finals having won one from five, that's a decent A grade.
Who do we take this to? We taking this up to Peter Valandis?
Well, go straight to Oshay Ole.
Oshay Ole,
It's a moot point because next year, Sats. I thought it was eight. You reckon it's going to 10?
It's 10, four new teams next year.
If you get a chance, Bill Burr. If you get a chance, have a look at this. Bill Burr, who's a comedian in America, he has a bit of a solution to women's sport in soccer. Over in America.
Oh, in soccer?
Yeah, in soccer. And basketball.
Okay.
Mm. So he's of the opinion that they probably should play.
Hey, did you see... A grade, worldwide freedom rally on the weekend at Sydney's Town Hall. There was the anti-vaxxers. I don't know whether you covered this or not, but one of the anti-vaxxers put a photo of... they need a clarification of what these things are. of course, very paranoid about everything. They're actually streetlights. So trying to be controversial. They took photos of something in the street, hanging over the street. What are these? I need clarification during the rally. They're actually just streetlights.
Fair.
Oh, they were thinking they were cameras.
Well, yeah.
Fair.
Paranoid.
A-grades. A-grades.
Yep. Yeah.
Get a job, A-grades.
Yes. Boys, we've got to go. I need to get a drink of water. I'm coughing here, but with the IMAR quiz coming up.
Hey, well done, Sugar. Well done.
Thank you, mate. We look forward to your show tonight, boys. Sports Day kicking off here at 6 o'clock.
Celebrity question. Celebrity question.
Mm.
Can you give us the first question, please? Badge or Sats?
What's the new reality show called coming up in 2 weeks that was based on a 1980s favourite sitcom?
Oh, yes. And it's on the high seas?
Yes.
Yeah, hijinks on the high seas? High pants on the high seas.
No pants.
Joel's gone. He's having
What it's called.
Break,
yeah, what's it called?
What is it called? And it's on Channel
10.
10. I don't know what this is.
That's okay.
But I'd love to watch this.
Yeah, you need to stay on and give us the answer, Sats. Because
no, I know what it is.
Oh, you do know what it is.
Leave it with me.
Okay, righto. 1300 011 70, the IMAR quiz.
Frank question, by the way.
Sats and Badge, all thanks to Best Sheds, 100% Australian-owned and manufactured. Visit bestsheds.com.au. Before you go, boys, about rank questions.
Yeah, rank questions.
Tommy Two Phones.
Yes.
Of the...
So of the rat's ass variety. Yeah. So on Fridays, he does nothing, right? He just copy-pastes.
I've seen it firsthand. It's horrible.
Yep. So one of his questions in the IMAR quiz was this. Well, this was the full question. Name the other two African animals. What?
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 Did you proofread this, Joel?
Name the other two African animals. What are you talking about, Tommy Two Phones?
Did you proofread that, Joel, or did you just get to that question and read it out?
No, I read it out, and I went, what the hell is this? Name the other two. Anyway,
seriously, Badge, his commitment on Fridays is ridiculous.
Oh, yes, rat's ass. Yeah. But he's very good. He's very good. But not on a Friday.
He's busy on the socials, I've noticed.
Yeah.
Mm. He's one of those guys, when he does a photo, he does the backwards peace sign.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like the
victory. In an elevator as well.
It in an elevator.
Okay. See, good on you, boys. We'll chat later.
Gotcha. Yeah. Always good, lads. Always good, lads. Joel and Fletch and the crew. Now, let's announce the winner of the Spinalese pillow. We asked about the old jerseys. What's the oldest jersey you got? And Dave from the Riff said, I got Mario's last Norse jersey. He signed it to me also. So, Damo, you are the winner of the Spinalese pillow. And announce the winner of our $100 Bing Lee voucher, David from Old Toongabby. My greatest sporting moment is Cam Smith winning the British Open. Hands down, a great moment. He was the first one. There was many that texted in about Cam Smith. A couple of texts also. Man arrested after a second nudie run in Bali. I wonder who?
We're going streaking through the quad.
That was Rabbit Burrow tomorrow. That's Woogie, by the way. And we'd love to be able to play the Whitlam song also, which has been texted here by 127 saying, it's Toronto Rod, is it? No, it's Toronto Rod and 127. It said, can you play the day John Sattler broke his jaw, which was today? But we've got a really strict panel op. His name's Matt. He's not going to let me do it tonight. We're going to do it tomorrow night to round the show out as well. Thanks very much. Some of the big sporting moments also, Ollie Hall winning the 1500 at the Commonwealth Games. That's from Mark from Goondiwindi. That was an absolutely amazing moment as well. It's got a couple of Ollie Halls winning the 1500 metres as well. So thanks very much for your text messages. Also, the Aussies getting revenge over the Jamaicans. So get footy finals ready at Bing Lee with huge deals on OLED TVs from all leading brands. It's the perfect time to upgrade. Head to binglee.com.au today. This is Badge and Sats for the all-new Kia Niro, available in hybrid or electric. Go to kia.com.au for more. Stick around.
Sports Day, the all-new Kia Niro, available in hybrid or all-electric. See more at kia.com.au. Welcome back to Sports Day with Badge and Sats. The all-new Kia Niro, available in hybrid or all-electric. See more at kia.com.au. It's time for the last blast on Sports Day with Badge and Sats.
Yeah, let's bring it home for Elders Insurance, hands-on support for our local community. And Badge, there's some exciting news around a while ago around the world-class event in cycling that's occurring in Australia. But the French Cycling Federation Yeah. Well, they've come under controversy, haven't they? This is good. I can't believe this is still happening.
They flew their male riders, the team, out. I think there were seven of them, out to Australia. And this was, they were in Wollongong on the weekend. I'm not sure if there's much to go in the road titles. And they, like some superstars of the sport, and they flew them in business class. But their women's riders had to fly economy. So big furore in France. Big furore over this, Sats, because they pushed the girls
up
the back.
Come on, that's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous, isn't it?
And apparently, they're saying the reason is because their men are top-ranked and much more likely to win medals. So they're looking after them. And the girls aren't. The girls are lower ranked.
Oh, that's horrific.
So they weren't even in seats. They were on their bikes in the aisle up the back of the plane, pedalling all the way over here, training. No, that's not good. Hey, you know what I did read as well, Sats?
Yeah.
The biggest problem for the internationals. Now, they put up with, crazy spectators. We've seen in the Tour de France and other big events, they put up with crazy spectators and all sorts of dramas that you have when you're out riding. And roundabouts and those problems. Well, they reckon the biggest drama was swooping magpies.
Oh, this is the world championship.
They would never have
in Wollongong,
seen them.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh.
They'd never seen the old swooping magpies.
They can have them if they want.
They were shifting bricks. Apparently, during the ride. So that'd put you off. I hate a mag. I've actually fallen over on a golf course as a magpie swooped me, and I was swinging a golf club at it, and it was dead set. It wanted to kill me.
You know, when I was 13, I used to ride home from school, and I could go across this park, or if I went round it, it'd be about another 8 or 9 minutes. So I used to go through this park every day during magpie season because I was just so lazy. I just wanted to get home, and I feared death every day.
Did you put your school bag on your head and try to run like that, or what did you do?
And I don't think we had now from memory. I don't think we had the straws or the wire ties in the back of
the cable ties.
We actually didn't have a helmet on back then either, did you?
No one wore a helmet. Only the dorks wore a helmet to school.
Drawn the set of eyes in the back of my head. But yeah,
I saw a helmet. A guy rode past me the other day. He and his wife, and he would have been in his 60s, and he had a helmet that looked like it wasn't with the wire ties. It was a dead set, like a punk rocker out of London in the 80s. A big, high, red. And I'm sure it was there for the magpies, because you wouldn't wear that. You wouldn't wear that any other day of the week. So
are we the only country that's got magpies?
We must be, are we? Maybe we are.
Wow. There you go.
And, yeah, plovers are the other one. Plovers will go you as well.
Oh, they've got spikes under their wings, haven't they?
I know. They dead set. They'll take an arm off if they can. Gennady Golovkin, the former champ, had that fight against Alvarez. Did you watch it?
I did.
Sounds like Alvarez too good, hey?
Gennady Golovkin from Kazakhstan has been an absolute legend of the sport. He's an absolute legend of the sport. This is their third fight against Canelo Alvarez
middleweight?
Yeah, super middleweight. This one was it. Alvarez has won three other weight divisions as well. He's gone all the way up to light heavyweight, but... Yeah, this is the third time they fought. First one was a draw. Many thought Golovkin won it. Second one, Alvarez won. This third one, Alvarez won, I thought, really comfortably. So, I don't think they won't fight again. And I'd be surprised if Gennady Golovkin actually fights again. He's 40 years of age now.
You know, it's amazing, Sats. You retire. So, 4 years ago, he probably thought he wouldn't fight. And then time goes by and you can't find anything else that's anywhere near as rewarding as the sport you played.
Yep.
And if there's an opportunity to come back, and you're training, you're not getting beat up, you forget about how old you are. And then, of course, Sats, the other big lure is money. I mean, I'm sure he would have been really well paid for this.
Oh, I think it was 30
millions
million?
And millions.
Yeah.
30 mil.
Yep.
So those things drag him out. And whilst you're saying, oh, he probably won't fight again, well, there might be an opportunity in a couple of years' time where he goes, oh, you know what, I've got another opportunity, I'm feeling great, and I'm going to get another 20 mil. I understand it. It's not. I wish there was a time limit on this, but you know, if people want to pay their money for these fights, I guess older fighters are going to keep coming out.
You think the governing bodies would take control, wouldn't you, and just say we've got a duty of care?
Well, some of them do, Sats, but they just find another area or another country to go and fight in.
Yeah. Now, Badge, you don't watch a lot of the NFL or the college gridiron. I love it, And there's an Australian over in America at the moment. He's at Ohio State. They're called the Buckeyes.
Right.
And they're one of the strongest colleges when it comes to the NFL.
You watch
there.
College football.
Love it.
It's not even the top level, and you're watching college football.
Yep, I'm a Notre Dame boy. I love Notre Dame.
How many years did you go there?
Australian punter Jesse Mirko. Well, he's shown the Americans some of the kicking skills of the Australians on Sunday. So what you do when the punters, all they do is they come on, they just get rid of the ball when you haven't made enough yards. So, but what you got to try and do is you got to try and stop it as close to the end zone, or what we call the goal line, the try line. And he stopped it 1 yard before the line, and then it bounced out of bounds, which means the opposition team has to start with the ball just on their try line. So
if it bounces dead, if it goes, keeps bouncing forward, is that no good?
Well, they come out like 20 yards, I think it is. They come out about 10 or 15 yards.
But that's just luck to make something land and then go left or right.
Yeah. It is. The distance isn't the luck. And what they call the hang time, that's not luck.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
But the ball just bouncing out left or right, we know it
that's
is.
Luck.
Have you got some audio to play?
Yeah, have a listen to their reaction.
Punt. Let's see what happens here.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, perfect.
Oh man,
he was right on cue, right? He knew what we were talking about.
See, this is what we say about Matt Burton and Nathan Cleary. Oh, that's beautiful.
You just want to go there and kick a footy, and that's it,
and get paid hundreds of thousands of dollars. And with that one kick, funnily enough, like he will become. Other clubs will be looking at him now to see what his contract obligations are. It's ridiculous.
Aussie punters are all the rage, aren't they?
Well, if you just do one good thing in college gridiron, you just become a superstar. So,
how much are cheerleaders get? Are they still on good money?
They're on scholarships,
that's about
you know.
All I could do.
Yeah, they're on scholarships.
Cheerleaders.
Yeah. Now, we've brought our trusty colleague into the studio here, Badge. Of course, Jacko. How are you, Jacko?
Very good, mate. How
now,
are you?
Celtic. They've been unbeaten for, what, nearly a year?
Nearly a year. 364 days.
Oh, well, of course.
Nearly a year. That's over a year.
This is in the Scottish.
No, it's not. It's, no, yeah. It's what?
Did you say it's over a
short.
Year?
It's one day short.
Oh, my God. See these millennial kids?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, no.
I don't know.
So, yeah, one day short of a year unbeaten run.
Yeah, so basically they lost 2-0 to St. Mirren. They had a goal on the both sides of the half time. So, yeah, just crushed it. But this is Celtic now having to deal with playing midweek in the Champions League.
What?
They're having to rotate squads. So they're kind of getting to the big leagues. It's exciting.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what about EPL? Is there anything we need to know that won't put us asleep?
Oh, who's this young kid? 15 and a half.
How do you pronounce his last name, Jack?
Wanieri. So
Wanieri.
Yeah, Ethan Wanieri. He made his debut.
So N-W-A-N-E-R-I?
Yeah, so just basically forget the N.
Okay.
Wanieri. Yeah. So, yeah, made his debut late in the Arsenal game against Brentford. The youngest ever player in the English top flight at 15 years and 181 days. That's really young.
Do you know who the youngest was before that, Jack, or not? Have I put you on the spot there? I have, haven't I?
No, you have.
Someone was just over 16.
But it was Harvey Elliott, I'm fairly sure. It was Harvey Elliott. But, yeah, it's very interesting. I don't know. There's a part of me that's like 15 years.
Do you know Chaney, former Origin player and assistant coach at the Cronulla Sharks? The Cowboys wanted him to play at 16 and 200 and something days. They didn't. They didn't let him.
Yeah,
didn't let him. Yeah,
and Jason Taumalolo played at 17.
Now they've got a minimum age that you're allowed to play. Yeah,
they have. How did he go, Jack? Did he go all right?
He came on with roughly 2 minutes to play, so I don't think he even touched the ball. But
class as a debut?
It is class as a debut.
Okay,
Sats, because I made mine at. I was 18 off the bench for South in Brisbane against Valleys.
Yep.
And I came on with about 5 to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I made a tackle or a run.
What
either.
Position,
I Garrett? In the centres.
In the centre. And what about when you made your debut for Australia? You made your debut off the bench. But what position did you take up?
On the wing.
And you were marking the great?
Martin Offia.
Yep.
And I was the worst winger in history for 3 games in a row.
Did you play on the wing 3 games?
Yeah,
every
time we got an injury, Sturlow got injured, someone else, the King might have... Anyway, different blokes went off and they just shuffled. We only had 2 reserves.
Yeah.
And they shuffled... Donny Ferner was our coach. He shuffled everyone around and put me on the wing. And I'd go, hang on, can't you put Gary Jack out there? I'll just go to fullback. Nah, you're on the wing again. Oh, hated it. Terrible.
Thank you, Jacko.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Well done. Okay. For Elders Insurance.
Oh, hang on.
What?
Everton beat West Ham. Finally, Everton had a win, and you weren't going to mention
it. The Toffees?
They're off the bottom.
That's my team. Badges team.
Yeah, I know.
You.
Yeah. I was going to mention it for your badge.
Hasn't been much to cheer about.
Now, what you got here also, Jack, that Tottenham Hotspurs thrash Leicester 6-2.
Yep.
Son with a hat-trick in 13. Is that the player's name, or did someone's son score a hot trick?
That's the player's name, Heung-min Son. He's a Korean player. But yeah, he's been very great over the last couple of years. Hasn't been sparking the season. There were calls for him to be benched. There was calls for him to be rested, and that he's not as good. And then, yeah,
comes and scores three.
Scores the hat-trick.
How are Leicester going?
Not great.
They were
going to
make a movie about their Premier League run.
Yeah, that they won.
That they won.
Yeah.
They were going to make a movie about that. It never happened.
I still think they probably will. Obviously, they've gone through some
one of the great sporting stories.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Honestly ridiculous. I still stop and think about it.
Championship League the year before.
Yeah, they came up.
Came up.
Won the league. I mean, instant household names out of obscurity. Jamie Vardy. Wes Morgan, who'd been playing for bloody 30-odd years or something, is the captain of that winning side. Ranieri as a coach it's just remarkable.
Yeah.
And all the money in the world, everything that the Premier League had, and they just couldn't beat a side that was on a run.
I know. It's a great documentary on it, actually. You should go and watch it, listeners, if you haven't seen it before. Thank you, Jacko, for Elders Insurance, from local footy to the community events. It's our way of giving back.
On Sports Day, it's time for the last laugh with Scott Sattler.
I can't believe I just wandered in. He's coming right in. He's going to do a set after me.
The stage is yours, Sats.
Gary Belcher is going to be our comedian for the night. Gary, over to you.
Am I?
Yep.
It's up to me again. I'll just give you a dad joke that I heard the other day. Is that all right?
Well, it's
just
your son's birthday today, as we
it
said
is
earlier
my son,
on. So
my son
dad's
Thomas's
joke
birthday.
Is appropriate.
Yep. Mm. So... what does a sprinter eat before his race?
What does a sprinter eat before his race? Or her race, yeah. Not sure.
Nothing. They fast.
Nothing, they fast.
God. It wasn't great, was it? Anyway.
Oh, thanks, I'll put
that. Yeah, no, Tom came up with that. I'm heading that way back to my son.
Thanks to Joel and Fletch and Timmy Manor for catching up with us on the show to talk about this weekend's finals and last weekend's finals. Thank you very much for all your text messages, and we'll see you again tomorrow night. And if you have missed anything tonight, you grab the podcast, look for Sports Day NSW, wherever you get your podcast from. Catch you tomorrow night.
See ya.
Life's so full on. I've been working on this deck for ages. These steaks don't cook themselves, you know. Life's good with a Trex deck. Composite decking made from 95% recycled materials that won't rot, stain, or fade. Trex, the world's number one decking brand.